This is Limitless Possibility. I'm Yannick Magnan.
And I'm Luc-Olivier Dumeblet.
And our topic this week is...
Apple Watch Ultra Review.
Ooh, sweet. So let's get right into it. We have no follow-up this week.
Which is rare, but it's that opportunity. So yeah, a few months ago, I've decided to upgrade my Apple Watch. And since that happened in October, I wanted to give me a few months with the new toy and to kind of reflect on my whole Apple Watch history and just being an Apple Watch owner, to give me some time to appreciate or not, we'll see about that later, the new device. So for this week, for our first episode back to hiatus, I really want to talk about my experience with the Apple Watch Ultra. But before I start talking about the Ultra, I want to talk about my previous watches first. I think we've mentioned that in the past, but if it wasn't clear or I forgot that we didn't mention it, I've been owning an Apple Watch since its introduction in 2015. And that's the same for you, if I recall correctly, too, Yannick, right?
I'm pretty sure we have the same Apple Watch history until you got this watch.
Really? Okay. So I was pretty sure that we both got the Series 0 when it launched in April 2015. We both got them at launch.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I would say the main reason why I decided to buy it is, yes, I dabbled a bit with... I didn't own any other smartwatches, but I borrowed your Pebble in the past, mm-hmm. too, at that time. And it was an tech area I was quite curious about. So when Apple decided to go into that part of the tech sphere, I wanted to see what they had to offer. After wearing mine from April 2015 to October 2018, more or less daily, I decided it was time. It was quite overdue for an upgrade because if you ever own what I will kindly call the Series 0 Apple Watch or the original Apple Watch, you know that it was A, utterly slow, and B, I think the battery life, generally speaking, kind of fell fast.
It wasn't great even at launch. It's just it aged very quickly.
Agreed. Yeah, and especially for somebody that was wearing it more or less daily.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't think it was when I got the Series 0 that I've done one of the key quote-unquote activity that I do with my Apple Watch, which is sleep tracking. My memory is a bit fuzzy on that. Remember for sure, even when the Series 4 launched at that time, it was not even an OS feature. Around like 2017, 2018, it was only offered by third-party application at that time. But my recollection is that started with the Series 4. And there was two main points that really got me hooked on the Series 4. The first one was, again, the first one was, okay, we're getting a new battery. But related to getting a fresh new battery and to get better battery life is the system on the, it's an SIP, and I forgot what the P stands for, but the SIP that they call
system
it.
System in a package?
Oh, yeah, that's a package. Thank you. At that time, it got a great upgrade. So it was a key feature of the Series 4 Apple Watch that it was way faster than the previous model. And last but not least, it was the first, I'll put in scare quotes, but major, the first redesign or the first design change of the Apple Watch, which meant here the bigger screen that starting the Series 4, and that more or less stayed the same for 4 or 5 generations. I think it was only Series 8 or Series... Yeah, it was Series 8 last year that did change the screen size again without changing the physical dimension or limited changes to the physical dimension of the watch itself. So from October 2018, because while it launched in September 2018, I was trying to find out why it took me a month to get one, but it took me a month to get one. But again, I would still consider getting purchased during the launch period. And since then, again, since October of last year, so for 5 years, this watch has been with me more or less every day for those 5 years. So it was getting quote-unquote long in the tooth. But before I start talking about that, I want to continue going through the list of things I really like to do with the Apple Watch. And I mentioned one in particular that is for kind of, I consider it to be a general health / mental health tracking, which is literally for me sleep tracking. Even if it for some people sound dumb, that okay, I know I went to bed late and this morning I had to wake up early, and it has its toll on your body. For me, it's really nice to see on, not on graph, but just see, okay, the watch says I was asleep more or less around that time, and I woke up more or less around that time. And I do use the app Auto Sleep still, even if watchOS has native sleep tracking support, mainly because Auto Sleep has this concept of sleep debt, or I think it's called a sleep bank. I forgot the exact term they use, but they do use debt and credit of your sleep. So let's say you program the software to say you would like to have 8 hours of sleep per day, and it's the sleep bank. And one night you do 8.5, the other night you do 6 hours, then it tells you more or less throughout the week, are you on debt of sleep or are you on credit? And after doing that for multiple years, it was nice to put, again, a bit of the data nerd in me, was nice to put numbers on certain tiredness feelings I was having and things like that. Like I could see, like after a few days of just like maybe spending too much time doing computer stuff on the computer, things like that, or tinkering on the computer even after work and during the week, that if I would do that 2 or 3 nights in a row, it would have its toll. And it also helped me get the pattern, also recognize how long or how many nights do I need to be a bit more careful with my sleep to kind of recover from that, or some days maybe not recover because it's a stressful week and things like that. So I'm a big proponent of sleep tracking. If it works for you, great. If you don't mind wearing something on your wrist literally 24/7, like I would suggest you do. But again, I know it's not for everybody. The next thing I really enjoy about the Apple Watch itself, generally speaking, is I would call it like notification management. Especially for the past few years where I work from home, I'm at home a lot. I do have a tendency to, funnily enough, leave my phone in different rooms in my apartment, and then sometimes just trying to figure out where I left it is funny moments. But what I like about this is, especially in places where I feel not at home but comfortable, like I wouldn't suggest you do that in a cafe, for example, but I go see my parents, I go see my brother at this place, I don't mind leaving my phone in another room. And if something needs to bug me, like I can just glance at my wrist to see what's up, and not having to have my phone on me. This is also pretty useful when you have a family member that lives on the edge of a cellular network, because you can put the phone on the window where cell reception works, and then you can still receive your text message when your good friend Yannick is trying to reach out or things like that. But I think, generally speaking, notification management, being able to just not have your phone around you but still be quote-unquote reachable, even if, yes, the Series 5 was... stainless steel Series 5, and I could... it included the cellular modem. I never used that functionality.
Series 4, you mean?
Yeah, Series 4. That has cellular and GPS. To this day, even if some carriers in Canada supports this feature, the carrier that I am onto, Videotron, does not support this feature. So even if I would like to try it for a month to see how watchOS deals with that, or watch how each of the Apple Watch I owned, Mi Series 4 or now the Ultra, would deal with cellular connectivity, I cannot do it because my carrier doesn't support it. So yeah, the trick of leaving your phone in a different room or near a window when you're on the countryside, really useful for that spot. Related to notification management, like, people love watches because it's easy to glance at time. If you need to know time a lot during the day and not look at the sun, things like that, that's why people literally use... they would put a piece of technology that would keep time on their wrist. And related to that, I do like to have more than just time. For sure, it being a timepiece, it's really useful for me. But having additional information available at a glance is really useful. The main widget, things like that I like to have configured, are weather. The ones that are more work-related is related to the timepiece functionality, is having different time zones already configured. I feel that on the phone, for sure, with the introduction of the widget kit and things like that, this is getting easier to do using an iOS device. But if you go back years ago, I built an habit of doing that with the watch, where the watch got those functionality first. So I kind of have this muscle memory of like putting this information on watch and glancing at my watch to know that. Last but not least, and this was brought up in a previous episode where I talked about some of my training habits. Even if I'm not the most active person, I do like the activity tracking functionality of the Apple Watch. We've discussed the gamification aspect of certain features of the Apple Watch or any of the fitness tracking devices that that have been launched, whether by Apple or by other people. And I won't kid myself, I know the gamification somewhat works, even if I'm still not the most active person. Usually when we go on a long walk, when we go on a walk, even if it's a 5-minute walk, or if we go hiking or just in a national park wandering around, I'm usually pretty good at making sure that I start a workout for this. And things like that. I guess it's, even if I'm not a big data nerd, this quote unquote triggers me the right way to get all of that data. And again, the social functionality they've added to watchOS in the previous few versions are pretty nice. Again, I do have a lot of friends that have Apple Watches, and some of them that are more active than I am, and it's fun to get the notification of, oh, they've done a training here, they've done a workout there. I know you and I were sharing that, and you really despise that feature, yeah. So you disable it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you didn't like the kind of possible social pressure of people receiving notification of what you were doing as workouts.
Yeah, that's the main reason I didn't like it, actually.
Okay. That's good. That's why I was remembering, but I wasn't sure. So that's why I was asking for confirmation, because to me, that's quite the contrary. I find it quite funny sometimes when I see my friends, especially a previous colleague that is for sure more active than me. But these days, I just see him punching walks in the Apple Watch. So it kind of makes me laugh every time I receive a notification from them just about that. Because again, it is... for me, a good reminder, hey, you know what, like, it's 3 and, oh, they're taking a walk. Like, oh, yeah, it's 3 p.m. today and I haven't been out of the house. So maybe I would just go grab some fresh air outside, go walk and try to disconnect from work. I said try in that sentence. Let me repeat it. I try. But maybe enjoying a walk, things like that.
I think specifically it's with regards to how I manage my workouts and what I do log and what I don't log and how I log it, that I get self-conscious because sometimes in an hour I'll have like 5 workouts. And like the idea of that going out as 5 separate notifications to people, it drives me crazy. I don't want to cause more notifications on people's devices. So like to me, that was an immediate turn off. Like I have to get rid of this because it's going to drive me crazy.
Fair. Seriously. If you ask me and I said yes and I do 5 workouts, like you ask to be friend with me on this. So I don't have this social pressure that you're describing on that front, but still find that the gamification aspect is sometimes really neat for motivation. So after describing all of what I've done, you kind of would realize that I'm not a big user of apps. And yes, I talked about glancing about information, but I don't use too much widget either. So it's more or less like it's on my wrist. And last but not least, but like audio management, meaning like, play pause, or in a podcast client like Overcast, advancing to a next chapter, things like that. So
I'm surprised you haven't brought up Apple Pay at all.
You're correct, because I don't use my watch for Apple Pay.
That's crazy. I don't understand. Why? It's Apple Pay on the watch is the best.
Twofold. I think you're correct that Apple Pay on the watch is great. I think my usage of Apple Pay has strangely decreased in the past few years. Because you know what? It was easier to disinfect a plastic card than your phone. There was that aspect. And when I started to use or allow my phone to be near, let's say, a terminal that had been touched by too much people, usually I've already have my phone in my hand at this moment. And the other thing I can tell you right away is that while credit card Apple Pay integration is neat, and I'm sure you'll jump into sales or transit is neat through Apple Pay, a lot of the rewards card are not really nice on Apple Pay or on the wallet app on the watch, because they do rely on barcodes. And a while ago when I was using it, it was kind of less than ideal. It was built really around QR codes and sometimes use UPCs. So those worked better on the phone. So nowadays, especially when I go grocery shopping, for example, I usually tend to, I've unlocked my phone. You select the rewards card, then select the card. It face ID'd, and then I bring my phone near the terminal. I used to use Apple Pay on the watch more frequently than currently.
See, to me, the priority with shopping and payments and all of that stuff is like, get me out of there as fast as humanly possible. And for me, like, I will never even consider having a rewards card or some sort of like loyalty card, because that's just going to slow me down and I don't care. And like that, that's why like I can rely on Apple Pay 100% of the time and it doesn't bother me at all.
Hey, food is expensive these days.
I know.
I think it was last week. It was nice to just go to the grocery shop and leave, and it cost me $1 because you know what? My $70 bill was paid with the points. So that was fun. Rewards card have benefits, but I understand your point of view for this. So that explains. Last point on that, that doesn't mean Apple Pay is not configured on my watch. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It is configured. I tend to forget that it does exist. You brought the tangent and I forgot where I was going with. Yes, I was talking about apps. So yes, I was about to mention that as you've seen in my list of things I like to do with Apple Watch, I'm not a big app user nor a big widget user. I don't have my to-do list. Again, I'm not a big to-do list person. I use Reminder and that's it. So I still feel, even to this day sometimes, that there could be broader possibilities with the Apple Watch, or more or less having a computer on your wrist. And I feel that sometimes watchOS can limit that. So I know a lot of people are doing more with their watch than I do. And because of that, it did influence my upgrade decision this year. As I mentioned in the topic, when I brought up the topic, I didn't say Ultra 2. I said Apple Watch Ultra. And this means that, yes, this October, I did buy a previous gen Apple Watch. And I would like to explain, before I talk about the watch itself and what I like, what I find okay about it, and maybe the parts I don't like about the new Ultra watch, I would like to guide you through my buying process of considering buying a previous gen when the new generation of the product is already out. Because, like I mentioned, I bought the Ultra One in October, so we already knew what was the Series 9 Apple Watch and the Ultra 2, so the this year's Apple Watch. Since I spent 5 years with the Series 4, and throughout those upgrades, the main two things that I felt that I was missing was a year after with the introduction of the Series 5, which was the always-on display. But again, I was not planning to upgrade my Apple Watch 1 year after buying a new one. That was a crazy thinking process, like a buying process. Like, no, that the Apple Watch is not a device I upgrade yearly, as you've can attest now with my history. But it was known quickly that, yeah, it was a nice upgrade for the Series 5, but the detriment on the battery life was really, really painful. Whereas with my Series 4, especially when it was new, I could do maybe, even with sleep tracking, I could leave it, like I could unplug it from the charger around 7 a.m. on a weekday. And if I needed to stretch it, I would have to recharge it the next day around maybe lunchtime. So I could do, give or take, 24, 30 hours if I didn't do too much. Again, with the display, the display more or less inactive because it wasn't always on Apple Watch, I could make it work. For sure, that didn't last for long, maybe 6 months to 6 to 10 months at most. Again, charging it every day as it's stalled on a battery, and especially on a small battery that is found in the Apple Watch. And I knew after reading the reviews and even having somebody that has an Apple always on Apple Watch, like Tony bought one a year or two after I got my Series 4, that the always on display was putting a bigger toll on the battery, and that while it has its benefits, knowing that I need to not charge it more than once per day, that it was a fair trade-off to have, aka not upgrade your Apple Watch, because who cares if you get the always on display and you just disable the feature. So after 4 years, the last year, so 22 to 23 was really painful, especially the first few months of 2023 was really painful on the battery. My Series 4 at the end was needing sometimes, especially if I were to do a workout during the day, it would need to be charged twice a day. So battery was due. And I already knew that with the Ultra, the battery gains we got meant that it would offset the penalty of having the always on display. And even with the more normal, like the more normal Apple Watches, so the Series 9, it was a fair trade-off, but still I always felt it was close to the limit of my usage. So at that time, and we'll talk about the look and feel of the Apple Watch Ultra, even if it felt more for people, way more active people than I am, like I don't do diving, I don't do run marathons, like don't get me wrong, that's not why I bought this watch. I was looking at my option for the current generation, and it was hard for me to justify getting a stainless steel Series 9 with the small price difference. So I'll give you the Canadian number. Today, if you go to the Apple store here in Canada and you want to get the stainless steel series Apple line, no negotiation. Don't ask me why I'm not buying a sport. You can ask me, excuse me. I'll tell you why. And the main reason I won't buy an Apple Watch without... Why am I blinking on the material used for crystal? No, sapphire crystal. Glass is because everybody I know that get an Apple Watch Sport or the cheap one. I forgot now. Are they still called Sports?
I think they removed the Sport suffix, so it's just Apple Watch Series 9 now by default.
Yeah, I should have looked on the Apple Store, but who cares?
I know what you mean by Sport. It's the aluminum one.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. So if you get the watch that everybody buys, the aluminum one, you just get Gorilla Glass, more or less. Which is, don't get me wrong, it's good. But as you may have seen with your iPhone screen, it is prone to scratching. It's pretty resistant to breaking, but scratching, not so much. If I were to show you my Series 4 Apple Watch, and you were to look at the stainless steel, you would believe me that it is a five-year-old watch. But if I were to tape so that you don't see the stainless steel and you just look at the display, you wouldn't think that this watch was worn for 5 years every day by somebody. The sapphire crystal display is amazing. Mm-hmm. I dinged it. I knocked it on multiple like doors, knobs, things like that. And in the end, it ended up not scratching the sapphire, which that was weird because it scratched the paint that is the bezel around the screen. That's the only scratch I have in 5 years on my Series 4 on the display itself. And still to that, I didn't know how that happened. I just one day I was like, what happened? But even then, because it was on the more rounded part of the display, like, it wouldn't bother me that much. I still can see it. But that small scratch was nothing compared to people I knew that would wear the aluminum model for the same purpose as me. They would do sleep tracking. They would do a bit of training. But it becomes more or less their daily driver watch. And their display was, I wouldn't say bad, but it showed scratches. And then if they were to tell you that this was their daily driver watch, you would strongly believe them because the display would show. So coming back to the prices, now know why I'm not considering any of the aluminum ones. So stainless steel Series 9 is $969 Canadian dollar, not cheap. And this is the minimum price because this is only with the some of the sport bands, some of the sport loops. But again, if you want any stainless steel bands, they're more expensive. Or if you want the beloved Hermes band, they're even more expensive. I quickly look just before recording, and like even going through a Milanese, you go past $1,100 Canadian, and to this day you can still get the Link bracelet. And the Link bracelet, if it's silver colored, is $1,300 Canadian, and if you get the Infinite Black model, is $1,500 with the new Series 9 Apple Watch. So it goes fast from there. Then if you compare what the Ultra gives you compared to a stainless steel series, you'll see that the price difference is not that big for the feature you get. So here in Canada, to get the Apple Watch Ultra 2, it's $1099. So roughly $130. Yes, $130. Price difference for bigger battery. I would say, generally speaking, a more rugged watch. A bit more storage, a better display. Because the display is brighter on the Ultra. You get a more precise GPS. And if you're a GPS nerd, aka you want to track everything with GPS, that's pretty useful, especially for work art purposes and things like that. Or if you're considering to write Apple Watch that uses the GPS, you have a better precise GPS. So, surprisingly enough, and last but not least, I do believe that the included bands, so whether it's the Alpine Loop, the Trail Loop, or the Ocean Band, they're all the same price in $1099. You just have to choose which one you want. I think they're a better combo, any of those bands, compared to just getting a sport band,
yeah,
like with the fuller OS elastomer, like the fancy plastic. Nowadays, for the same price of $969, you can get one of the Sport Loop, and not the Sport Loop, the
fine woven.
I forgot. Yeah, but the previous woven ones.
Oh,
I literally the one I wear, but I forgot its name. I'll put the link in the show notes, but the
isn't it
the
just
one
the
that are
woven solo loop or something?
Something like that. Yeah. I think it's woven solo or woven loop. One of those that are not in plastics, let's put it this way, that use textile, they're also included for the base price of the Series 9. So, and again, I think those bands are better. So if you include, to me, if you include more than double battery life plus a brighter display plus, in general, I was maybe considering buying a new band, because again, I don't want to buy a sport band. And for example, with the Series 4, I didn't get just a base stainless steel. I took opportunity of me owning an Apple Watch for 4 years that I already have a collection of band to get a Milanese loop. So if I was to buy a stainless steel, I was also considering, hey, which band should I get with it now that we can pick and choose. So I was already getting closer to the $1,100 price of the Ultra 2. But again, I was not in the mood, should I say this way. I was kind of like, I was trying to look for a deal. And it was at that point where I was considering, what should I do with the Apple Watch? My battery life sucks. And yes, I could bring it to the Apple Store, get the battery, pay too much just to get the new battery. I am aware. But I think it's time that I would really like to have a new one and also have the advancement of the past few generations. Because again, it was from Series 4 to Series 9, which is more or less like 5 generations. And then that's when our good friends at Amazon sent me alerts. because in the past few days, I was kind of just looking, and it was kind of pre-preparation. I think it was for kind of Canadian Thanksgiving, because it was mid-October that I bought it. There was Amazon deals, as usually what happens in the fall in preparation for the holiday season. And they still add Ultra Ones in stock. And on top of me saying, hey, I wanted to buy a non-standard band, I was really liking the Alpine Loop strap that got introduced with the Ultra One, especially in the bright orange colored that is quote-unquote flagship for the Ultra One. Sadly, this year with the Ultra 2, they didn't change the functionality of that band, but it did change the color, and I felt that the color were kind of lackluster to my taste. And I've learned that the hard way throughout literally the past 9 years is that Apple knows that the Apple Watch is a stylish item while also being a technical computer, technology and things like that. So they do change their bands frequently. I think it's every season or every half year.
It's every season except for winter, I think.
Right. So I've seen years that it was twice a year, and then I've seen years it was thrice a year, like you mentioned. And it is really important, and dare I say, ultra important, that if you find a color you like, that you sadly fall for capitalism and go buy it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't buy it, and then 3 or 4 months, of, let's say, worst case scenario, 6 months later, you do the typical, say, oh, yeah, I'll go to the Apple store, I'll go buy it next week. And then you forget. And then you see, I don't know, you see a friend that buys the new color. Oh, yeah, I love it. I need to buy it. And then you push that forward again. The second Apple launches the new colors for the new style season, they get rid of all the other ones. I don't know what they do with the unsell stock. I don't want to know. I think it's the answer I want to hear here. But the second they swap the color, the previous band disappears.
Yeah, and sometimes you even have to be careful with the designs of the actual bands as well. Like especially like with the recent refresh for the fine woven stuff, if you liked the leather bands, then too bad, you can't really get them anymore. If you liked the old Hermes bands are weird because they're expensive luxury items, right? But
true.
They also cycle out designs seasonally as well. So sometimes there are just bands you can't get for like a year and a half until they come back. Sometimes they never come back. So and of course, like, all of the Hermes leather bands that used to exist, now you can only buy them from Hermes directly. So that's kind of awkward as well. If you don't have access to like Hermes luxury stores in your area, or you don't dress fancy enough to get in one of those. So yeah, it kind of sucks, honestly. I wish they were more available throughout the year.
Right. And the other example of that on is the Pride bands. And I think for the past 2 years, they've been pretty good about it, because I remember seeing previous year, so when they launched the new Pride band, same thing with the new Black History Month bands, I've seen in the Apple store that they still stock the previous one, because the previous one was a different style of band, not just a different design. So sometimes it will be a loop, or it will be those the ones that you need to size correctly, because you cannot adjust their sizing. And again, I'm blanking on all their funky names, but if you're an Apple Watch wearer, you know which one I'm talking about. So yeah. So coming back to those pesky Amazon ads. So part of that Amazon event that happened during fall for you to be to spend money at Amazon, I saw that they had Apple Watch 1. On top of that, I saw that the stock they had left included the orange all Alpine loop band. So literally, if I use a Doug DeMiro example, it is the launch brochure configuration. So that was really tempting. And before I say the price, I want to go through the differences between the Ultra 1 and the Ultra 2. And I think that I would say, rereading or just skimming through the reviews in preparation for this episode, I think people were a bit disappointed about the version 2 of the Ultra Watch. I think people, generally speaking, the reviews were pretty positive about the introduction of the Ultra. I think the main complaint was, hey, if you don't like the ruggedness look or the or I'm an active person look, it might not be the watch for you. I think the in generally speaking, the normal Apple watches are been pretty stylish. They look like a luxury item or like a luxury watch, especially fancy bands. But the Ultra look more utilitarian than stylish. So differences between the Ultra 2 and the Ultra 1. Because of the new S9 system in a package that is faster and has a faster neural engine. And if I recall correctly, the neural engine is not only faster, but has more cores. I think it went from 2 to 4. So it's way faster for anything that is machine learning, or, for example, on-device Siri. That's the other big thing that is quote unquote justified by Apple, saying that, oh yeah, on this year's generation of Apple Watch, Siri doesn't have to do a round trip to the network. It can do on-device processing. And from even with the new SIPs, WatchOS doesn't really like to do network connectivity interactions, let's put it this way. So having Siri on device could have been a great benefit. The other one that I think was justified by Apple that requires the new SIP, but that gesture already somewhat existed as an accessibility gesture, is the new action gesture that closely resembled the action gesture for the Vision Pro, where you kind of tap your two fingers, your two fingers to select something or just do the action. Apple has introduced a similar gesture. So, and the best example I give you is like, oh yeah, there's a phone call, your watch rings or vibrates, and your hands are full. You can at least, they can now detect that you're moving your two fingers and tapping them to each other, and that this processing of all the sensors requires the new SIP, blah blah blah. One thing, again, not having the latest generation watch, I don't have it, but one thing that has been clear since the introduction of watchOS 10 is that this new main action gesture is not really available to third-party apps. So it's currently only available to Apple apps. So while it seems nice for a device like the Apple Watch that there's a way to trigger the main action on the screen that is shown to you, or that is on the always on display. Like I say, you receive a notification for a phone call, you want to say, yes, I want to talk to that person. It's weird to me that third-party developers don't have access to this and can benefit from such of a simple interaction in the OS. Next difference, more storage. Never ran out of storage space on the Apple Watch. Again, I never really used it. Even Overcast never really used the functionality where you can download podcasts locally to watch and just go on a walk. Again, I wouldn't be surprised that if I could have a cell phone plan to allow my Apple Watch to have cellular data on it, I could just go on a walk just with the watch. But again, that's not an option available for me. So when I go on walks, I bring both my watch and the phone.
Another thing that's awkward is, like, if you're like me and you don't have fancy Apple AirPods or AirPods Max or whatever, right, a lot of headphones will max out at two pairings. So I have phone and iPad, and it's like, am I going to get another pair of headphones just for the stupid watch, or am I going to unpair constantly? So there's like that awkwardness. And also, just like generally, I think I always have my phone on me if I'm going anywhere with my watch. It's very rare that I'm going to be somewhere without my phone at all.
Agreed.
So I don't really see the point.
Yeah. And the other aspect regarding storage that is somewhat needed is one of the watch faces that I really enjoy is the one that is just time and photos as background, like from my photo library. So of course you don't want to have your whole photo library on the watch. For sure you don't have enough space for that, but intelligently the watch will swap photos, or you can select an album that I've manually curated. So again, in theory, with more storage space, you could have more photos and it would do less of intelligence swapping or you having to manually create that album. But again, here we're talking from 32 gigs to 64 gigs. And like, at least unlike the Apple TV where you have to select the storage tier you want, here it just comes with the watch itself. But to me, again, never really had to deal, and I kind of wonder if WatchOS has kind of like, oh, your watch is nearly full, please go clean shit up type of notification. Again, on my Series 0, on my Series 4, and now with the Ultra 1, never seen such notification.
I think I've seen it exactly once.
Interesting.
I think one time I was actually trying the Overcast thing for a while.
Yes. And
I also tried to do a software update and I ran out of space, and then I think I would have seen that exactly once.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would make sense. But for me, never seen it. Last difference is that the display that is already pretty bright at 2000 nits is now brighter at 3000 nits. So just to summarize again, faster processing, including Neural Engine. One thing I forgot, excuse me. The new precision finding way, which I think relies on the Ultra Wideband Generation 2 chip. This is also available on the watch if you're trying to find somebody with their new iPhone 2. But to summarize, more storage space that is not really useful. Brighter display, that's nice outside, but I think 2000 nits is plenty already for my usage, especially with the always on display. On device series would be nice. I do use Siri sometime, but hey, Siri's a mess, so if it makes it less of a mess, sure. I remember reading that 3 or 4 months ago while I was making my decision. I was like, if I keep my Apple Watch again for 5 years, I think the on-device Siri, I might regret it down the road, because I think that would be something that would have more longevity for my Apple Watch history. But all the other ones, I was like, I don't really care. And on top of that, Amazon was offering the Apple Watch Ultra at $899. So thinking about it here, $300 less than an Ultra 2. Or about $250-ish, depending on which band, at minimum, cheaper than a Series 9 Apple Watch. And I won't... Again, that's what happened. I decided to take it. And I've been thinking about that decision for a while, because I'm also thinking, it's still early, but kind of preemptively about what I'm doing with my phone these days. And this trend of me of buying kind of not big tech gadgets or not the fanciest gadget for my personal use is kind of something happening in the past few years. And it was yet another iteration of that with the Apple Watch. So I would say that I'm pretty happy that I saved $300, and that for sure don't regret not buying the latest generation, even if I plan to keep the Apple Watch for the years to come. Like, I'm not changing also my upgrade cadence. And for sure, this... certainty, if I can say so, of not changing my upgrade cadence comes with one of the biggest positive of getting the Apple Watch Ultra is the battery life is crazy on this watch. Just to give you a perspective of how crazy it is, my general wearing pattern is as follows. So during a work week, I would wake up around 7:38, let's put it this way. And I would usually remove my watch, put it on a charger, and then just go on, like, do my waking up routine. So trying to wake up, getting dressed, getting in the shower. I'm a morning shower person, eating a bit. And usually when my first meeting comes at 9 a.m., my Series 4s was either fully recharged or charged enough for the rest of the day, things like that. But usually it had enough battery life for me to, in that hour 30 minutes of prepping for work, it would go back to 95%, give or take. That was something that last summer till fall, like, that was not the case. I needed to charge it twice, and that was really disrupting the routine. Now, with the Ultra 1 that has always on display, that still does sleep tracking, I usually wake up the next morning and it's 55-60% battery percentage remaining. Like, I can go now, when we go see the family out of town, if I leave on a Saturday morning, I don't bring my charger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just come back. And even on Friday nights, which is something we do we do less these days, leave on the Friday night and then come back on Sunday around dinner time. I would feel comfortable just not bringing an Apple Watch charger.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't be surprised that, or maybe for the Friday night, because I would do sleep tracking during the night, I would maybe need to charge once during that weekend, that typical out-of-town weekend. So my main complaint, even if I know I had a five-year-old watch, again, my main complaint around, I would like to have always on, but I would like to have enough battery life to offset its battery life use, battery usage. That is solved 100% with the Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, it has, I personally put it in my neutral category. The downside of having a bigger battery is the watch is bigger. And it was surprising maybe the first week of wearing it, but nowadays I'm just like, it's bigger. I don't really mind it. Knowing that I was never a small Apple Watch person, mainly because of the battery, I won't lie. It's like, I knew you would get a better battery on a bigger watch. Tough luck, I'm getting the bigger watch. The Ultra was getting into this uncomfortable zone of the somewhat stylish trends of the past 20 years of big ass men watches on your men wrist, where it's like huge on your huge wrist. I'm exaggerating here, of course, but it was getting in that zone where I felt that the Apple Watch was maybe a bit too big. But in the end, overall, I'm like, no, it's fine. It's fine. If I was able to get the same battery life on the smaller body that I used to have, for sure, I will not say no to that. I would like to have that. But it is not as big of a deterrent that I was thinking it would have been potentially. It's not a full-on negative. If, like I mentioned in the intro, I will do positive, neutrals, and negative. It is a neutral aspect of the Apple Watch, but at least be warned, especially if you want the bigger battery life and you jump from the small Apple Watch to the Ultra, you might be greatly surprised about its size. Throughout the previous years, I've gained a big collection of bands, especially to having also my partner having an Apple Watch, and that we both wear on the same 41, 44, 45, the big Apple Watch size. So when Tony buys bands or when I buy bands, we can exchange. So having the Apple Watch Ultra be considered the big watch was nice. One thing I realized I haven't tried, because these days I don't really wear those, is the one size bands that you really need to measure your wrist. Is one of the bands I forgot to take note of the names, and I'm blanking on them right now. People have said when they start to use those that you should, I forgot if it's size up or size down, but it will be off by one size if you use the Ultra, or it might, so you might have to change. But since these days I'm not using those bands that we have a green khaki color, or one of the year the Pride bands was of that style, but it's been a while since I've wore this one. I don't know why. Now that I mention it, I don't really remember why. So just because I'm not in the mood these days to wear this one, for example. But all my other bands, I even wore my Milanese loop with the Ultra Watch. Which brings me to another positive, which is the titanium finish. It was a bit weird because, again, of the mismatch of the material, and also that my Series 4 was a gold stainless steel Apple Watch. But overall, it's not too bad because the lug was also gold. I would have assumed it would look weird, but because the titanium finish has kind of a yellow hue to its gray tint, it does help under certain lighting to help it match. But for sure, you have to be aware of the different material, and the way the lugs gets in the Apple Watch body, it does sometimes look jarring. But I would say that it is the only band I have that it is that jarring. I haven't wore that one personally, but I have a third-party leather band that I bought years ago, and I forgot. It's I think it's one of those popular case manufacturer or accessory maker that also have bands. I'll make sure to find it if it's still available and possibly put it in the show notes. But this one had more stain, like silver stainless steel lugs, and this one I would agree fits more with the titanium look than my gold Milanese loop, but it won't stop me to wear it. I think if I have it in a setting where I'm either going out with friends or if it's more of a formal dinner for somebody's anniversary, things like that, that's usually when I tend to wear the Milanese loop. I also wear it for fun sometimes just because I like this band, but it also ends up being worn to more quote-unquote important occasions. I think I've mentioned that other positive multiple times during this episode, so you won't be surprised. Yes, I was late to the Always On party, but boy, it is nice. This was brought up even again with the introduction of that technology with the Series 5, but the moments where your hand is in a weird angle, but you can still see your wrist and the watch, is so nice to, I just want to see what time it is. Glance and you can see some information. For sure, you still have to do the typical wrist gesture slash motion because that's when your Apple Watch goes into its always on state, which brings some privacy feature. So for example, if you have your activity rings on your watch, it won't show. Certain other information, right now I'm looking at mine and weather, things like that, they would show. But there are certain categories of complication and widgets that it would remove the data shown because they consider it private data. So if you want to look at your rings and you're in the metro holding the bar, you cannot glance at it. You really have to turn your wrist or try to do the typical wrist gesture for that to happen. And like before, where it would take a few, maybe like 500 milliseconds to half a second, to a second and a half sometimes to just recognize that, you do see the animation. And with an always on watch, what happens is the brightness of the display goes from like low power mode to normal mode. And then you see that on top of the animation where your data comes back. One thing I've realized is I am getting better at reading an analog watch because one of the watch faces I've been wearing a lot is the compass one. I forgot its exact name. Let me look. It's the, yeah, they call it, I forgot what will be the exact name, but in French they call it orientation one.
I think it's Wayfinder.
It could be Wayfinder, but it's not the one that you see your waypoints that when you start to hike or things like that, it would just do that. But it is the one that when you tap on the clock itself, it transforms itself into a compass. So and that's the one we, if I recall correctly, usually see in the Apple Watch Ultra ads. So it's funny because I've been using this watch face since more or less since I got the Ultra, and it reminded me of an old video of technology connections where Alec is talking about the fact that analog watches or analog clocks are so nice because they just give you relative time. You don't need to know it is 4:44. You just need to know it's like closer to 5, right? If you just want to get perspective. And after having an analog watch face for the past few months, like I can't get behind his argumentation or in his argument that not having exact time is plenty enough for humans just to plan things, because we usually plan every 15 minutes and a watch with needles is pretty precise for 50 minutes increment.
Not exact enough for Japanese public transit. Sorry.
Possibly, yeah, but sorry to be that friend, but you're not in Japan anymore. So I'm sure it's pretty fine for the 12-year transit.
Yeah, I only need to know what half hour it is. And...
yeah, so see? So yeah. That Apple Watch. Perfect. That brings me to some of the negatives that I've encountered. I don't have an iPhone 15 Pro. So I don't know what's the life... Or I would say I know what's the life of the action button, because if it's as useless as the one on the Apple Watch, I don't care. Well, not that I care, but I don't want it. Because sadly, I feel that the action button on the watch is useless. Right now, mine is set up for it to be the flashlight. And also, as a lefty, I wear my Apple Watch on the right side. So it is usually the button that if I flex my wrist, that gets accidentally triggered. There's no action button guard, unlike on the other side of the Apple Watch Ultra, where there's a crown guard. So it's easy to trigger. So sometimes, especially in the past few months, even if winter was mild, I still had to wear a coat and a jacket. Sometimes you would end up like, I would remove my wrist to look at my watch from my sleeves, and then I would just be blasted with a white screen. That happens daily. It's nice that the display is pretty bright, because when you use the flashlight feature, which is pretty useful, it is really bright. But when you're not expecting it, it can be quite annoying. And like I mentioned, this happens multiple times per day. Even when I'm just wearing my normal t-shirt and inside clothes, or just wearing a small like vest, things like that, it does happen a lot. And again, I haven't looked at what could I have put there, but for sure I'm not putting like start a workout, because yeah, I trigger it so much that it would be useless. One thing regarding, again, accidentally triggering things, my understanding of removing the rounded corners of the display, or the rounded edges of the display, and making it a flat screen with flat edges meant that in theory it was supposed to help with knocking protection and things like that. But I realized that I accidentally also brushed the lower left part of the watch, which right now in my watch face is the activity complication. So sometimes I still trigger a workout by accident,
yeah,
because I accidentally opened the app, and then yet again, because the app is open, the screen is open. So maybe in my sleeves, it register any touch input, and then I would remove my watch from my sleeve, and then boom, I'm in the middle of a 5-minute workout. I'm like, I'm sitting at my desk, or I'm driving the car.
That happens surprisingly often to me too, with just the Series 4. I'll be at my desk, and then I find out I'm like an hour and 3 minutes into a workout, and my rings are fucked for the day because I just sat at my desk being stressed instead of actually doing exercise.
Right. And I'm glad you bring this up, because this is a point I took note of with my experience with the Ultra, but I wanted to mention that I didn't, in the span of 5 years, I'm sure it happened with the Ultra, the Series 4, but again, in the span of 5 years, it was not that big of an occurrence. So I'm glad that you mentioned that it could still happen frequently if you have the series style of Apple Watch.
For me, it's like maybe twice a month.
Okay. Yeah, no, that... that is not as frequent as the action button, but for sure that happened maybe 5-10 times since I got the watch. So more than once a month, twice a month for sure. This is generally not a negative for the Ultra. I think it's a negative of the Apple Watch itself, but watchOS still feels like a baby OS. And I think they haven't shaken off that feeling, that sense that even if it's a really powerful computer in your wrist, it's still not the quote-unquote real computer. And I'm not planning to go into the iPad is not a real computer discussion tonight. Don't get me wrong. But I feel that the watch could do better, but its OS is blocking it to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice that last year we got a new hardware design, but I feel on the software side, we're not getting new things. We're getting a lot of design tweaks. I think the new UI layout for application on the Ultra is pretty neat, but it reminds me a lot of when I got my Series 4, which got a bigger screen, so the developer could take advantage of that bigger screen by placing the elements differently. If I haven't ever developed on the Apple Watch, but I've seen a lot of the documentation and a lot of the videos, and yes, like, developer add more flexibility with the bigger screen, and it seems to be that watchOS, also watchOS 10 on the bigger watches like the Ultra, have yet again a bit more flexibility. My last negative that I want to discuss for this review is that while I really enjoy the battery life, the Apple Watch has a big battery to charge, and I am not like a lot of people that since MagSafe got out, they threw all the cable out, and now they're happy that USB-C is around, so you can get rid of all the Lightning USB-C cable. For that type of thing, I tend to be like, I buy something and I'll replace it when it's broken. And I have a combo dock on my nightstand that is still, I plug in my iPhone via Lightning and as a Apple Watch charger. But again, this was, oh, I forgot when I bought it. I forgot if it was during my time with the Series 0 or with the Series 4. But it is pretty old in my life, which means that recharging the Apple Watch Ultra on it is slow. Especially in the days where I don't charge it. Like, in a work week, because it stays around, like I said, 55-60% after one day of my usage, putting it on a charger and maybe extending it a bit past 9 to maybe 9:30, or when I receive the notification it charged, which is maybe 9:15. Like, usually it's plenty. But if it's more closer to 20, 25%, 30, the watch has to stay on the charger for 2.5 hours, 3 hours more, and even more if it's really in the red zone, so below 20%. Again, I can use the USB-C cable included with my iPad Pro charger, yes, but I do love to have a combo dock station on my nightstand, and again, it's still working, so not planning to change it. And again, it's based on old charger technology, so for the iPhone, I don't really see the need because it's on the charger the whole night. But for the watch, where I usually have short recharge windows because I wear it literally 22 hours out of 24 every day, that has, I would say, impacted, because again, right now, I'm in the good period where I have a fresh battery, even if you could say that this Apple Watch might have stayed in Amazon's warehouse for a year. Let's ignore that for a sec here. But battery life is amazing. But again, the days that you tax your Apple Watch Ultra and you more or less use the small 5 watt, which I think is what ends up happening with my dock, is the 5 watt charger, expect it will take its sweet time to put back power in your Apple Watch Ultra. So that more or less wraps up my opinion of the Ultra, and also why I decided to buy an Ultra 1 when the new generation was out. I don't regret doing that. I think it was a great move for what I need an Apple Watch to be in my life. So I'm eager to see where it will leave me next, but I am for sure hoping that... Then I didn't do that purchase plan on that, because you shouldn't do a hardware purchase, a tech hardware purchase based on software updates. But I think we're getting, like, watchOS is getting long in the tooth, and something major has to happen with it. And I really believe that if that happens either this year or next year, that the Ultra 1 will be part of that software update package. So I'm not too worried, but maybe if that is not the case, that may be why I would maybe prematurely upgrade, but still I am well happy with this purchase, and it is, I see a good future in front of me with the Apple Watch, where I keep it more or less until it's quote unquote either unusable or broken, which is what I'm currently considering my Series 4 to be in that state.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to be my year to upgrade this year, I think, especially following the trip. The trip was a big wake-up call for me, because like usually, like I only go to the office like twice a week, so I don't go out much, and usually I work out on the days that I'm home and not really doing anything active. So when I got to Japan and I found out that my battery was dead at like 6 p.m., if I do exactly the same charge cycle as I have here, and I could be stranded somewhere without a train card, that is a problem. So what I ended up doing for the entire trip is basically leaving it on low power mode, which I did not know they have a new low power mode in modern versions of watchOS, which previously they had like a low power mode where literally you couldn't see anything except the clock, and you had to like press the button physically for it to turn on, and it was like extremely limited. I wasn't even able to find that mode anymore. I don't even know if it still exists. I had to turn my watch off completely when I was on the plane, because I never found how to get into that mode. But the new low power mode basically just disables a lot of the passive health tracking that happens on the watch. So there's less proactive notifications about heart rate and all of that stuff. They don't do the automatic workout detection and stuff like that to save on battery life. And that was enough to get me to where I could... Basically, like, I didn't do the sleep tracking at all during my trip because I was too worried about the battery. So I basically just charged it overnight. And then when I woke up, it was at 100%. And I could last the whole day. I think one time I got a 10% battery notification. But the rest of the time, I would finish the day at around, like, 30, 40%. It was fine. But that was the wake-up call that, like, if I was actually, like, living an active life and probably, like, taking transit and stuff like that and actually leaving the house more often... this watch probably wouldn't actually be usable on a daily basis for me. So I'm looking into upgrading, but I'm probably going to wait for the fall just to see, like, is there a redesign? Because it's going to be 10. So, like, the rumors are seeming to indicate, like, there have been rumors for fucking years that there's going to be a watch redesign. So I don't know if I should believe it this time, but, like, it's Apple. They like 10. It's a fancy number. So I don't think it's out of the question. And if... Unless the 10 is like a really wow thing, I think I might be tempted by the Ultra, actually.
Interesting.
And like one of the things for that is the action button. Like I actually have a use that I would automatically configure for it, because there's some weird stuff in watchOS that is actually an active pain in the ass for me every single week. So when I go to the grocery store, generally I do it while I have a workout on. The problem with that is that when I turn to look at my wrist, I don't see my grocery list anymore. I always go back to the workout, which is a pain in the ass. And so I have to press home and then press on my reminders complication. And it takes a bunch of taps to get back to my grocery list just to tap the next item. So if I can just have the action button take me straight to reminders and I can just check off my thing and be done with it, like that would be a big time save every time I go to the grocery store. So I don't know. I think it's an enticing offer. So it's all going to depend on what the what Series 10 looks like. But yeah, I'm starting to be excited about picking up a new Apple Watch.
Funny story though. For your usage, I think you'll have to use a shortcut.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because, okay, that's fine. Because let me read you the possible actions that you can do. It's exercise, stopwatch, the way back points. I'm my phone is in French. I'm trying to do the live translation, but there's the waypoints and then the way back itinerary. Those are two different options.
Yeah.
There's the... I forgot to mention this. The depth gauge that you can trigger. This is funny because that's something I tested during my time in Dominican Republic. It was fun. You swim in the sea and then the second it detects in. And it is in the water. The interface completely changes to a depth gauge. So again, I think I've seen like 0.5 meters of depth. So I didn't do like free diving. and things like that, crazy diving things, just me being at the beach. Flashlight, and then, of course, shortcut, or the best feature, which I'm changing it now, none. So that's the list.
Wow, I'm excited about the button, and you just want to turn it off.
Which I just did on the show, so I'll see if I'll keep it that off. I was considering doing that, and I just always forget. But now that I've talked about it in the recording, I'll try a week or two with it off and see how I like or how frustrated I am to trigger control center on the watch to go trigger the flashlight mode. But that's that. And you reminded me part of your experience about your own watch during your own trip, that for my trip with the Apple Watch, it was quote-unquote refreshing again with battery life to not really care. It's like, oh, yeah. Sometimes I kind of forgot, and it's like, oh crap, now it's low, so now I need to think about charging it, because guess what, I kind of forgot to charge it for the last 36 hours or even nearly 48 hours. So that was also fun.
One of the things I forgot to mention with regards to that is that I was under the false impression that, like the phones, the watches would have express transit while battery is dead, which is not the case. So this is something that was introduced on phones, I think, with the 10R or the 11, which is like...
It was post-iPhone 10, that I remember.
Yeah, when the battery is dead, you can still use your Express Transit Apple Pay card to do things. That's only on the phone. I thought it was on the watch, too. I mean, it would make sense that it's on the watch, but it's apparently not on the watch at all. So that caught me by surprise. Good thing I was literally like 400 meters from where I was staying when the battery died on my watch. Because that would have been awkward if I had been all the way out in Tokyo or in Chiba or something, and I would not have a train card. I mean, I would probably figured out a way to get back, but it would have been more of a pain.
It's funny that these problems, we don't think about it like you and I, because we take transit in our own cities, but we don't have to think about this because our own city transit doesn't support Apple Pay.
Yep.
Or Apple Pay
Express Transit, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you figured that out during your Japan trip and you literally texted me, I was like, oh, that sucked, because I was also, when you were surprised I was not using Apple Pay on my watch, if I could put my transit card on my watch, I think that's when I would start using it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And last comment about what you said about the rumored redesign. Again, every year they say that. I freak out because people complain about band compatibility. But after now nearly 10 years of Apple Watch, I expect they'll break it. People
were
under the assumption that maybe the Ultra will break it. And I think if they do, or I think I should say when they do it, the bands that will be the most sad that the broke compatibility with is more or less the Pride bands. They've been doing Pride bands for the past 4 or 5 years at this point, and Tony and I more or less got them all. Except I think this year it was only like sport bands, and both Tony and I are kind of tired of sport bands extensively, so I think it's the first year we don't buy them because we found them boring.
I would not be shocked if they just reissued those with whatever new band connector comes out, because, like, first of all, they're often some of the best looking bands anyway.
Agreed.
Regardless of your politics, like, they just look great, but they're also like immensely popular.
So we shall see, but I do dread the loss of backward compatibility for the bands, because I have a lot of bands.
It's also part of the reason why, like, right now I have a gift certificate to the Apple Store from my trade-in for my iPhone XR when I got my new phone. And I was thinking about getting a Hermes band, but I'm like, well, I should probably wait.
Yeah, you waited too long. That's your problem.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing, of course, is, well, yeah, I have the gift certificate, and I can't even use it on the leather Hermes bands because they're not sold in Apple stores anymore. So it's like, fuck. So I have to wait for Hermes to make cool bands for the new band connector, if there is one.
So before we wrap it up, because you reminded me while talking that I needed to go look at the Apple Watch. So the names I was looking for, this is the one I'm currently wearing, is the Sport Loop. The Sport Loop is all fabric, and I love those. And those come usually if a watch has a sport band in its default price, you can get a sport loop for it. Now I'm scrolling fast. The other ones I was mentioning was it's not the fine woven, not the Nike sport loop, not the sport band. It is the braided solo loop. Those right. are the ones that you have to size correctly. And the one I was mentioning about the Pride bands is there, I think it was from 2 years ago, there's a braided solo loop. That was the Pride band of that year. And I've seen this one still in stock in places. Or last time I was at the Apple store. And there is also the solo loop, which is the equivalent to the braided one, but in floral elastomer or whatever how you pronounce this.
You nailed it.
Really? It's floral elastomer?
Floral elastomer, okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Wow. For once, I don't fuck up pronunciation, so I think it's a good time to end.
Before you fuck up the pronunciation to something else? Great.
Exactly.
All right. So if you want to find the show notes for this episode, you can find them at limitlesspossibility.net/223. You can also find the full back catalog of our episodes at limitlesspossibility.net. The show is on the Fediverse, at @LimiPo_podcast, at @Mastodon.social. We are also individually on the Fediverse. I am at @Socarina, at @icosahedron.website. And Ducati is at
@Luco, at @Mastodon.social.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks.